Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to All Stats Aren't We, a podcast in which Leeds fans cast their combined eye over goings-on at Elland Road, giving scrutiny to the underlying statistics and tactical footings at work at Leeds United. I'm Adam Elliott and I'm joined today by Martin Riley, of course, and Will Clay. Will, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling very full because I've just eaten my food about half an hour before this, but I'm ready to talk about some football.
And what did you eat?
I had rice with some air-fried chicken thighs with various seasonings and red onion, red pepper, black beans, some rocket, all sorts of salad. It's very nice.
Wow, a proper meal, not a student meal. Oh. I'm really impressed. And I know you can cook as well, yeah, so it's good to hear that you actually had a little go at it. Martin, what did you eat this evening and how are you doing?
I'm doing very good. I've had something which I've had on the pod a few times before, chicken in white sauce with mashed potato and veg. Yeah, very good. Doesn't sound as good as what Will had, though. I do rate that meal. Did you do this specifically for this, so you had something nice to talk about?
No. I'm the only one left in our house before Easter now. So I was like, well, if I've got more space in the kitchen, I'll...
Fair.
Yeah, go on a bit of a exploration and do something proper.
And I actually really relate with that. I love cooking when I've got the space and there's no one going to disturb me. Yeah. Or if I'm cooking with someone, it's fine. But if I'm cooking and then someone else wants to be in the kitchen for something else, I'm just like, please leave.
Yeah,
I just want to get on with it. But yeah, I myself had a lovely chili and I made it and it was delicious. It was like I used this chipotle jar that I had left over as part of the seasoning to add to some various other spices, and it's like perfect level of smoky and spicy, and it was delicious and I really enjoyed it. And yes, we're here today to talk about, I think it's Watford, isn't it, on Friday? But yeah, it's Easter weekend, dun-dun-dun. And that is not always a good thing for Leeds United, as we know in previous years. But before we do that, we've got a little bit of extra content for you guys because we've got a guest on for once. So Martin spoke to Watford fan Jordan Vimer, who is part of Watford Analytics, and we'll play that interview for you right now.
Hello, I'm Martin and I'm here today joined by Jordan Vimer, Watford fan and part of Watford Analytics, to talk, well, about Watford. Firstly, Jordan, how are you today?
Yeah, doing very well. Thanks for having me again. Obviously, last time it was a prelude to a bit of a devastating result for my boys, but I'm glad to be back nonetheless.
Well, it's good to have you back and so glad you wanted to come back on again because we got some good insights into Watford then and quite a bit has happened. So it's good to have a chat again and find out what the season has been like. So on that, I will get straight into the questions. So Watford season so far, what's it been like? And do you think it was the right decision to sack Valerian Ismail?
It's not been the best season for us. I guess you could say we've had a little bit of up and down, and it started off reasonably well, but the drop in form was quite significant. So it's been a bit of a rough one. We kind of find ourselves in that position of probably just about safe from relegation, but our early season aspirations of playoffs are quite far away now. So yeah, it's been frustrating in terms of justification for sacking. You know, it's debatable, really. I think there's lots that you can say towards the pro sacking of Ismail. Things had really started to die off a little bit in terms of performance. They were really, really quite poor. But on the other hand, you know, there's lots of other factors off the field that go into kind of issues that we have at the club. And, you know, maybe Ismail is just part of that problem in a bigger sense. But also, you know, it's something we've had for quite a long time now. And, you know, the sackings are quite a narrative at Watford. And sometimes the criticism's just, other times not so much. But in this one, it's a little bit of a split bag. I think fan base in general is somewhat split, or at least it's a little bit more nuanced than should have definitely gone or should have stayed.
That's fair. Yeah, I've seen quite a few different, quite contrasting opinions about sacking Ismail and whether it was the right thing. I think from what I've seen about your squad, it looks to be a relatively decent squad for the level of the few players in your squad that I do like. And so yeah. I think maybe he could have been a little bit higher up the table than what they were. But yeah, I can understand why there would be such contrasts of opinions on that. So on to the next question. It was about 6 weeks ago now, but how did Watford do in the January transfer window? Was there any notable departures or arrivals we should know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did pretty poorly in the window as a whole. To be honest with you, we had some positions we needed to address. We didn't, for the most part. In terms of leaving, Imran Lusa, who's, you know, he was a big player for us and really important, probably one of our best players we had at the time, technically at least. He's very gifted, but performance from him was poor. There seemed to be some issue with the head coach, and he was loaned out. So we were kind of losing a pretty important piece of what we expected to be our team over this season. So that was a big loss. Although we didn't really have him up until that point, really, because of the fallout. And then in terms of Ian, Emmanuel Dennis returned. He was obviously quite successful for us in the Premier League. Went to Forest, didn't quite work out there, but a player that you'd expect to be productive at this level. Lots of, again, off-the-field stuff with him. He's got a bit of a... He's made a bit of a name for himself off the field, and there's some issues surrounding that. But yeah, he's a quality player to come in. We're still waiting to see if we really get the best out of him, although he did score the winner in our last game. So we're perhaps starting to see some of that at least.
Yeah, just speaking about Imran Lusa, he was a player who I had my eye on over the summer when we did our scouting episodes, and he came up very strongly in all the data which I was looking at. So yeah, that, I can imagine why that would be a pretty big loss for you.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. So what have your recent results been like? So, and do you think your position in the table is a fair reflection on how you've been doing?
Yeah, I mean, our recent results have been pretty poor. You know, we had, I think it was one win in 11. After the Christmas period, it got really rough. Actually, around African Cup of Nations, we lost kind of a key player in Kayembe, and that's not necessarily the reason why things fell off, but it was around that time that things started to go downhill. So, yeah, poor. And then, obviously, Tom Cleverley's come in the last game, and he's won his first game in charge. So, you know, immediate recency has been good, but we've had a stretch of 10 or so really, really poor performances. So it does feel that we're kind of justifiably in this position we're in. Again, frustrating because we started the season quite well and there seemed to be some really positive elements, but it's just dwindled out. And yeah, the season's kind of got away from us a bit.
Yeah, I can see that. It can be frustrating when players who you know who are doing well aren't quite living up to it. But hopefully with the win on the level in the first match, will be a border of good things for you. But since Cleverley's come in, has he tried to change anything tactically since he's been put in charge?
It's really kind of one of those back to basics sort of situations, it feels like. You know, it's been even a short turnaround that he's had between getting the job and actually kind of getting to play that first game. And really, it was just about kind of doing the simple things. And I know it's very cliche to say, but as it often happens towards the end of a manager's reign, you start to see that dropping every element of performance. You know, the intensity is down. In general, you feel that kind of flatness. So I think it's just about bringing that back into the team. And to be fair, there was that level of competitiveness that we were kind of lacking. You know, just in simple duels, we were actually kind of getting into situations where we were able to potentially kind of come away with some of those opportunities. So that was better. And yeah, we were a little bit faster. We've had poor history this season for starting extremely badly. We know we're very slow to get into games, and a lot of our points have come on very late on. I think this was maybe we've only had maybe one occasion prior to this game where we were leading in the first half this season. And that was something we had to try and change. So I think that did improve. But in terms of tactics and real sort of large scale changes, it's a little bit too early to say. I'm not expecting too much. I think it's going to be a lot around that, you know, keeping him in the, or allowing the team to just to step up the tempo a little bit and try and be a little bit more disruptive when they can be.
Yeah, but it's very difficult for a coach to come in at this point in the season when the team's in bad form. We experienced it last season when we sacked Jesse Marsh, and then we brought in other coaches, and especially within the Championship when the games are so thick and fast, and they have been very hectic, the schedule, over the past few months. So it's very difficult to put anything in place, but we've got a bit of a break now with the international break.
Yeah, interesting to see. Maybe we'll see something, but it's definitely one that I think with Tom being a new coach as well, there's a lot to learn about him. Even as Watford fans, we still don't entirely know exactly kind of what his principles are. But I mean, from early signs, everything you think of as Tom Cleverley as a player in terms of what he brings to a team, that kind of endeavour and tenacity, I think that's kind of what he's trying to get onto the pitch, at least right now. But maybe we'll see something a little bit more kind of interesting than that. As you say, you've got a little bit of time in the international break. Potentially we'll see something else.
Yeah, we'll just have to see what the international break brings. I know there have been a few different styles that Watford have had over the past few years, and I think Ismail was trying to just go away from the more direct, high-pressing style, and I think that's what I saw in the game which we played last time. You kind of seem to be in the midst of two different styles of wanting to press at moments and then not, and yeah. So hopefully they can get some solidity in place and get things back to basics, like you said before. So with regards to more individuality and who have been your key players this season?
We've had a few. We still have some decent players in the squad that have given us a bit of an impact this year. I think Wesley Hoot at centre-back, previously at Southampton. There are a lot of question marks around him. First few months after he joined, he was kind of up and down. There's some performances be really solid, other times you kind of see those mistakes start to creep in. He kind of played up to the narrative surrounding him. But having said that, this year he's been potentially player of the season for us. He's been captain numerous times. But his range of passing from the back, his left foot, we've got a crossfield ball from him, which is at times our most dangerous form of build-up and most dangerous form of kind of transition of play. Really, really solid there. He's been a good leader at the back. Ismail Kone, the young Canadian international, 20 years old, central midfielder, number 8, really rangy, up and down the pitch, good range of passing, good touch, good carry. He really spurs us on. Anything good often comes through him in that midfield area. Yasser Asprilla, I think we touched on before when we talked last time. Young Colombian attacker, kind of plays from the wing on the right-hand side, left-footed, sometimes plays centrally too, really dynamic on the ball. A little bit hit and miss with the finishing, but if you go back and look at his goals this season, when he does hit them, he's really dangerous from outside the box, and he can cause a lot of problems in possession for opponents too. And they're kind of the main ones really that stand out for this one. Maybe as well, Georgi Shakvatadze, who's a Georgian international, kind of similar to Yasser Asprilla from the left-hand side. Quite hardworking, tenacious, and yeah, it gives us a little bit of threat in what can be a little bit of a stagnant team at times.
Okay. This question's not on a running order, so I apologise if it surprises you. But just wanted to wonder if there's any like weak points in your side who you would have liked to have upgraded from in the transfer window?
Yeah, definitely. We've got some weaknesses. A lot of it was depth related. But right now we are kind of looking at one of those issues. Left back was an area for us that we weren't overly happy with. We got Jamal Lewis in on loan. He's been mixed, but he's been okay. But the backup is a young fullback, James Morris, who's kind of brought into our academy from Southampton's academy a few years ago. And he's played more football than anyone really expected. Kind of brought into the team last year through injuries. Looked to be an adequate backup, so he's kind of been playing recently, but he's not quite got the physicality for the division, I'd say. I don't just mean that in terms of shoulder to shoulder strength. I just mean as an athlete overall, he's not particularly fast. He's not particularly strong. He's just kind of in that no man's land of athleticism that kind of costs you at this point. So he's an area that I think is somewhat of a weakness. We played against Birmingham last week, and Ethan Laird kind of gave a lot of problems overlapping and pressing. It seemed to be an idea from Birmingham to really kind of push onto that side and see what we had to offer. And yeah, we do look a little bit exposed there. On top of that, the goalkeeper, Daniel Backman, he's just come back into the team. It's been Ben Hamer has been in there for the good few games under Ismail, probably the last 10 or 12, 15 games or so. He took Backman's spot. He was, at the beginning of the season, our captain, just got a 5-year deal, which is controversial in its own right. But he's come back into the team. He'll make some good saves, but he does have a tendency to be a little bit reckless. He's kind of come back into the team almost over-eager, rushing out of goal, finding him some bad positions. There's a really bad own goal we conceded at home a couple of weeks ago that's worth having a look at to kind of see what I mean in that regards. But he's trying to be proactive, but to his own detriment. somewhat, and there's a shakiness there. So I know a lot of people say they've got a shaky goalkeeper, but we genuinely do right now. So, you know, even just the communication across that back line is impacted. So that's an area to look out for, definitely.
Oh, that's interesting. That. Yeah, we'll definitely look at that on goal, see what you mean about that. So regards to the game against Leeds, how do you think you'll approach this game? I realise it's a new coach, so it may be a bit difficult, but how could you see yourself setting up against us?
I think similar to what I kind of outlined earlier in regards to how we're going to look to play. You know, we most likely could be in some sort of 4-2-3-1. I imagine we'll sit back a little bit deeper. It was a weird game when we played last time. We went through very much a transitional style of play, or we changed our style of play quite a lot after that game or around the game we played against you guys previously. So this time, yeah, I'd say a little bit more passive at first, in the kind of further up the pitch, potentially in your third and so on. But I think we'll be more aggressive in our own half, definitely. We won't sit off as much, but it's going to be a relatively simple structure. I don't see us doing anything too clever. I think we're going to just try and stay contained, look to break when we can. We do still have pace and power out wide. Emmanuel Dennis is a really good option in the central position if you do want to press. So, you know, if we change that approach, we might look to get back into the game potentially or try and cause some disruption, then maybe he's someone we can do it through. But yeah, I think it's going to be relatively basic. It's not a great answer, but we're just not really a particularly innovative team right now in any area. I think it's much more about, as I said, being competitive and leaning into that. Mm-hmm. Whether that's enough to beat you guys, I'm not really sure, but I think that's probably what we could be looking at.
Well, that makes sense. I think probably the one weakness in our back line in terms of individual players is probably our left side of defence with Junior Firpo. He's a great attacking fullback and he's been very good in that respect recently, but a long-term issue with him has been defending one-on-one duels. And I think you mentioned that Yasser Espria is right-sided for you. So that could be quite an interesting matchup for you to get some joy out of, I think.
Yeah, I think if there's anywhere that I could see us looking to change over this little bit of extra break we have, or looking to adapt to maybe kind of find more joy from, I think it would be those wide areas for us. You know, as I said, Espria is good in that position. He drifts onto his left foot a lot, so whoever's playing fullback is going to have to maybe quite switched on to come inside with him, or, you know, centre back as well. Same goes for him. He's got to be aware of that movement. We might get a little bit more freedom than what we saw. We were quite structured and quite rigid against Birmingham, which is, I guess, what I mean by saying we were basic. So maybe we'll get to see a little bit more of that and try and find some ways to expose Leeds. Obviously, we've got a little bit more time to game plan a little bit rather than just a few days he had before Birmingham. So, yeah, it will be an interesting one to see, but that could be a spot, yeah.
Indeed. So do you have any notable injuries or suspensions ahead of this game?
Yeah, I mean, the player of the season I mentioned earlier, Wes Hoot, suspended for this one, accumulation of yellow cards. So that's a big loss for us. We missed him against Birmingham too. This is his second game of the ban. So that will be a quite significant miss, really, especially almost offensively, as much as defensively. As I said, that range in left foot from the left centre back position over to Espria was a big threat for us, and that being gone does hurt us somewhat. Also, Ken Semmer from the left wing, you know, Swedish international, quite a good player for us. He's solid left footed, quite physical, drives down the wing, and is quite consistent with delivery. He could be a threat, and he works tirelessly, so he's always a good option for us. Not necessarily guaranteed starter, but someone that we've called upon quite a few times and has dug us out of a few situations. So he's a loss for us and someone we'd like to have around for sure.
Great stuff. Okay. And I know this is a bit of a tough one because we've got another like 10 or so days until the game, but could you give us a best guess at a lineup?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll give you best guess. You said it might change a little bit, depending on if we get any injuries and stuff. But back four is going to be in goal. I think we're going to go Dan Backman again. Back four, because Wes Hoot's going to be out, we're probably going to see Andrews at right back, a young academy fullback who's just been offered a new deal this year, quite a promising player, one of the best in terms of our academy graduates for a while. Centre backs, Ryan Porteous, Matthew Pollock. Young back line most likely as well with James Morris on the left as well. I think it was the youngest back line we've had in a long, long time. In terms of the team in general, has also been very young. If you look at the Birmingham game, which is probably very similar to that. Midfield, probably in some ways our strongest area. Got good athletic midfield. We're going to see Kayembe, Kone, most likely Tom Delibashiru as well. Can be a somewhat industrious, difficult midfielder to break down and do offer you something a little bit. Then Shaq Patatse, Espria and Dennis in the forward positions. There might be a little bit of rotation there. All those players are capable of playing out wide and centrally, so that's something we might see as well. But that's what I predict the lineup to be. There's a few changes potentially, but most likely going to stick the same.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for that. And finally, we don't ask for predictions, but what I will ask is, where do you feel this game will be won or lost?
I think concentration for us, if we can stay within our shape long enough to frustrate Leeds, and it's potential, you know, that's how we're going to see our game plan. We've got the ability to break, we do have pace, we do have power. That's where it's won for us. And I think, you know, on the other hand, it's lost in the same manner. You know, if you guys are able to break that early, just dominate and control, we might get a little bit frustrated, we might feel a little bit out of our depth, and we might crumble. So I do think there's something in us in terms of being a counter-attacking team that can hurt opposition. We haven't seen it consistently enough. So I wouldn't say it's a write-off for us, definitely, but it's won or lost there, in my opinion.
Great. Thanks for that. And thank you once again for joining us, Jordan. Where can our listeners find your content?
You can find me over on Twitter at Watford Analytics if you're interested. And yeah, we'll be talking about the game to come.
That's great. Well, thanks again for joining us and enjoy the game.
Yeah, thank you. Good luck.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Excellent stuff again, Martin. It's really good to have Jordan back on. He was on earlier in the season. And yeah, I guess we'll dissect some of what he said now. We'll get straight on into it. Jordan is expecting them to be sat back a lot less than the previous fixture, but he also doesn't sound like a low block is likely, and it'll be more of a mid block. Is that what you expected too? I'll start with you, Will, because you have watched their game against Birmingham, which is Tom Cleverley's one and only game in charge of the club.
I have. I was sort of surprised by how front-footed they were, because in my head, knowing nothing about what he might try, I was thinking, well, he won't have had much time. It'll just be, let's try and keep it solid and, you know, maybe nick something. But they were quite proactive. The goal they scored came from pressing what was admittedly a poor throw-in from Birmingham. And then later in the game, they had other chances pressing. So I think, yeah, we'll see some pressing, I would expect.
Yeah, and I think this is a quite an interesting point, Martin, and something you and I spoke about just before the podcast, is their intensity this season. They went from, at the start of the campaign, being one of the sort of top three or four sides in terms of pressing and out of possession and high regains and all the rest of it. They were up there in terms of that. But now, recently, under Ishmael, just before he got sacked, and probably part of the reason that he did get sacked, is that their intensity had dropped kind of off a cliff. So maybe that's part of why Cleverley's gone slightly back to basics and gone for a bit more of a workmanlike midfield, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that is potentially the case. Based on what Jordan had told me in the interview, I was expecting it maybe to be a lot less aggressive in the Birmingham game than what it actually was. Similar to what Will commented on, they were quite aggressive for most of the game against Birmingham. There were times where Birmingham were able to play through them, which was good to see, because that bodes well for us. If Birmingham are able to play through it, then that bodes well for us as well if they do decide to press high. But yeah, the whole shift in intensity was quite different and not probably what a lot of fans maybe expected from Ishmael. Obviously, he's well known for his high intensity football. Even the clubs before he came to Watford, was it, who was it that before? Was it
West Brom, Barnsley?
Yeah.
I knew it was one of the arch sides, but not Rotherham, so Barnsley. That's the one I'm thinking of. So yeah, so he's well known for that, like, that high intensity, almost Red Bull style high press, and that had, I think Jordan mentioned that the game against us was kind of like a turning point, and that's when it maybe started off being less intense. And in that game against us earlier in the season, it was a weird game for Watford, because they were kind of in between two styles and didn't really know what to do in phases of it. You'd see that they had players positioned in higher areas, but they weren't really enacting the press as quickly as what we were maybe expecting. And so it just made it quite easy for us to play through what they were trying to do, because there were bodies there, but they weren't really moving around as much as what they should have been. So it made it quite easy for us to get the ball into their half. And I think Birmingham did similar, to be fair, in this game. I think they can probably feel a bit hard done to was the result in that game, because they did create a lot more chances than what Watford did. Watford did create a couple of high-value chances, but the goal did come, like Will mentioned, from a mistake, really. First of all, a poor throw to one of their defenders, and the defender just tried to play it out, but it was a fair good pressing action from Emmanuel Dennis. He was quite sharp in getting on the man when that throw took place, but still, That was a mistake, which caused a goal. And they had a few chances in the second half, and some good saves were pulled out by Daniel Backman, something which Jordan mentioned as well about his shot stopping is good, and that was on display. I saw a couple of good saves from him. So, yeah, it was a funny game that Birmingham were able to get through quite often. And even when they went 1-0 up quite late on in the first half, in the second half as well, they were still being quite aggressive. At times, they even were pushing up their fullbacks into Birmingham's half to put pressure on. So they at times had five or six players in Birmingham's half, and there was lots of space down both sides for Birmingham to get into, and they could quickly transition into those areas, even when it wasn't really a transition, because there wasn't space there. It felt like it was, like a fake transition moment. So yeah, it was an interesting game. I'm not really sure what to expect from them in this game, because Jordan said that he thinks that they may be sitting back a little bit more and hoping to transition onto us. But if Cleverley sees how well the pressing style did against Birmingham and thinks that could work against us, then maybe in for a bit of a rude surprise. That was not to be disrespectful, but we are one of the better sides in the league. And if you judge it off Birmingham and do the same against us, it could end very differently, to say the least.
Yeah, I guess the other sides, this is their home in this game, and perhaps there's a bit of expectation to be a bit more mid-blocky and aggressive, as you've just mentioned there, rather than sitting off. But then a lot of sides probably are better off against a team like us, and the way we can build up the ball sitting off us and rather than going too aggressive on us. But yeah, it was interesting to note that how many times that Birmingham would get the ball and start building up, and that the sort of attacking midfielders and forward players would aggressively jump onto them in this game after what Jordan had said. But yeah, I do agree with you both. And also, it's kind of interesting for me as well in terms of the intensity inside of it, to note that all 10 outfield players for them were aged 26 and under. Their oldest player was their goalkeeper, Daniel Backman, who's, I think, 28 or 29. So yeah, there's again maybe a reason for that. Maybe Cleverley's trying to blood some youth at the end of this season and trying to give players a little bit more, I guess, about them, a bit more of a sort of point to prove, because they're such young guys. Maybe that's the reason for doing that, and maybe that's the reason also partly to see why they had a bit of an upturn in terms of their aggression and their off-ball intensity. I don't know if that's true, I'm just saying. But yeah, most of them were also 23 and under, actually, so a really young side that we're probably going to see against us again. And I think Watford are in a situation where they can probably afford to do that, because they're not really going to be in too much danger of going down unless they lose a lot of games. And they're definitely not going to challenge the playoffs unless they've literally won pretty much every game. So that's not going to happen. So they can afford to experiment a little bit. And they are a bit beachy, I have to say. Anyway, yes, we shall move on. And just talking about players and the squad, as I was there, what is the actual level of the squad overall, in your opinion, Martin? Which players do you feel like we need to look out for? I know that Jordan's mid over a few of them himself, but I'm sure there's a few that you have in mind as well.
Yeah, well, to be honest, the overall level of the squads is quite high, if I'm honest. It's quite a lot of players in a lot of areas who are good. You've got players in the forward line like Emmanuel Dennis, Yasser Asprilla, Georgi Chakvidetsi. So they've got a good forward line. They've got a very solid midfield. Like, really, all three of their midfield players who played in this game against Birmingham moments were very good, most especially Omdeli Bashiru and Ikmel Kone, but they're both good. And the other one in that was, I forget what his name is now, is it Kiembe?
Yeah, it was Kiembe.
Yeah, so all three of those players are very good. They're very good, but I'd say more in possession. I think our possessions, they did have some issues, but I think that could be more of a team-wide thing of being quite aggressive in the press when players were dropping deep from Birmingham and they were chucking them and leaving space behind. And Birmingham were able to use that against them and play quick one-touch passing and getting by and into the space that those midfielders were leaving behind. We've got good parts and bad parts of the midfield, but I think it's more of a team-wide thing rather than the individuals themselves. But obviously this is only going off this one match, so I could be talking out of my bottom. But then in the defensive area, I think that's probably where they're a little bit on the weaker side. But in possession, they've got some good ball players, especially Porteous. He's a good ball-playing defender, in my opinion. And he had some really nice carries out of pressure at times in this game. So, yeah, they've got a lot of quality in this side, and maybe squad should be higher in the league than what it actually is. So I can maybe understand why Ishmael has been sacked. But I also do think that their underlying numbers are good. So they probably had some luck against them in this.
Will, is there anyone that stood out to you, not just in this game, but for Watford over the course of this season from what you've seen?
Not that hasn't been mentioned. Being selfish and a bit silly, Deli Bashiru was a bloke I signed on Football Manager a while ago. So it was nice to actually watch him in real life and see that, oh, he is a good player. But as Martin said, I did note that him and Kone particularly, I thought, were very comfortable with the ball at their feet, turning away from pressure a few different times. I just think the front half of their team, and it is only a game against Birmingham with all due respect to them, but the front half, I don't see why they wouldn't be edge of playoffs level. So for them to be, is it 13th now? Underwhelming, basically.
Yeah, I think I agree mostly with you guys. The one that's not been mentioned but was mentioned by Jordan is Wesley Hoot, who is certainly a good ball-playing centre-back, kind of their version of Pascal Strout, left-footed centre-back, really comfortable on the ball, one of the better ones probably in the Championship for the last couple of years. Has that real good, rangy, long-raking pass on him from left to right, kind of a bit like Liam Cooper did in the Bielsa days, probably even better than Liam Cooper in those days. Definitely very comfortable with the ball. And then a few others that I thought deserved a shout out. Ryan Andrews, the right back, he's only 19, has come in and done a brilliant job in difficult circumstances when they were in a really poor run of form. He came in the team quite a while ago now and has kind of stayed there. He's got a really funny own goal against Swansea, so you should go look that up. But otherwise, he's actually performed pretty well considering the expectations around the club and things like that and how well he's done, considering the team around him has been pretty poor this season, despite the fact that, as you both mentioned, there are some good players. Kone's another one I really like as well. So, for all the reasons you've said, they have decent ball players throughout the team and they should probably be able to do a bit better than they do. And I think next season is a big season for Watford. I think they need to get a bit of their identity back because the intensity thing going one way and then the next and things like that, they need to sort of find what they want to be. And I don't know who the manager will be to do that, but I doubt it's Tom Cleverley, let's put it that way. Well, I'll go with you on this one. Is there any areas of the team that you think were of concern? He mentioned their left back, Morris, as one. Again, a young player that's just come in. But are there any areas that you think that we can exploit?
On both sides, down their sides are, both sides of their sides, basically, are areas I think we can exploit because with the way they were stepping onto Birmingham, they did leave a lot of space outside of the centre-backs, which I was sort of thinking, oh, Somerville, oh, Dan James, oh, Nonto. They could have some fun there. And then just in general, I think there was a few times they got the ball passed through them quite easily. So I was then thinking, oh, Ruta, but then you know, he might not be available. So that's a shame.
No, it looks like he's not going to be, but we'll come on to that later. Martin, is there anything else you wanted to add there?
No, I think it's been covered quite well there, especially the full-back areas and centre-backs, like Will said, is becoming quite a lot of space there for players to play in, and I was looking as well thinking what Rutter could do in this game, but my boy's not going to be in this game. It makes me sad.
The other one I wanted to add, who's been a bit up and down this season, although his shot stoppings occasionally looked pretty solid, has been Backman. There's a Watford fan I follow on X Twitter who is pretty down on him. And I know that Jordan didn't seem to be as down on him, but there are a few Watford fans that certainly are. And his kicking did look really suspect in this game at times. Like they got a few high re against Birmingham from a few really sloppy, shonky balls that he tried to play out or go long with that didn't even reach the halfway line. And they were really poor kicks. So hopefully we can make the most of that in transition ourselves. But Martin, I'm going to come to you as always for this next section, which is what does the data say about their season so far, Mr. Statman?
It's a quite interesting load of stats to say that they are, like you said, 13th in the league. Their open play XG, first of all, is 10th in the league, so with 35, slightly over 35 XG created, and they've scored 43 goals from that. So they've actually quite significantly overperformed, which is already quite a strong amount of XG. So 43 goals from 35 is quite a big overperformance. And then set play XG, they're ninth for that, and 11.4 XG created from set pieces with 9 goals scored. So a slight underperformance on there, but more than with their open play overperformance. And then the XG against them, I was expecting this one to be maybe quite bad, but funnily enough, it's actually not. They've got the fifth best in the league in the open play XG with 28.37 XG conceded, and conceded 32 goals from that. So, yeah, it is another performance by their opponents, but not really that big, at least if you compare it to their own performance in their XG. So, yeah, it's an interesting set of figures. Then the final one is a set play XG against, which is quite bad compared to the set open play. 20th in the league. So 13 XG conceded just from set pieces, with 13 goals conceded from that. So that's the only area where they actually meet the expectations for the XG. So that's quite interesting. Say the 13th and overperforming a few categories there. Quite a strange match, and this is why data can always be looked at and team-wide effects and how things happen. And I think a lot of their losses have been quite tight. So that means that only a slight overperformance from one team in one game, and then maybe them start padding in games against other teams. So it can lead to data skewed. So I think that's could be what's going on here. And then also another little note, which I saw on the Opto Analyst, where they give like these zones of control, where they have more than, I think, 50% of the ball in parts of the pitch. So they do a good job of controlling the midfield areas in their own half, and they've got positive zone of control in that area, with contested areas down both flanks, which basically means that it's less than 50% in those areas. So they don't really do a good job of controlling things down wide areas, which I think pulled out quite well because of how often they were turning balls over in those sort of areas, and at the same time also allowing the opponent to get into those areas when there was when they were trying to defend and press. So there's a lot of things interesting going on with their data, and it's very strange overall, what I must say.
Yeah, the set play one's very interesting, I think, considering that their attacking set pieces are pretty decent. They've ranked pretty well for that. I think one of the explanations might be Miletarajovic being in the team. When he was in the team, he's a bit of a lump of a striker, not very good technically or back to goal, but certainly good in the air. And that might have helped in that regard. But then their set play XG against being as bad as it is a bit of a surprise in that regard. Usually those two stats match up a bit better than that. But there's a 9th place and a 20th place. So the gap is 11 places between the two, which is pretty crazy. But one player to maybe note that is going to come into the team, and we'll talk about a potential lineup next, is Pollock, the centre-back, who's a very tall, sort of more old-fashioned centre-back in terms of his sort of aesthetics anyway. He looks a really big, physical guy, good in the air. So that might be a part of the reason why he's coming into the team as well, not just because Wesley Hoot is currently suspended. But I have to say, I am actually quite glad that Hoot is suspended, because I think he's one of their better players in general. But on that, should we have a little stab at a predicted lineup? Will, do you want to have a go at the one that, or remind our listeners, sorry, of the one that Jordan mentioned just quickly?
Yeah, Jordan reckoned it'd be Backman in goal, with right to left, Andrews, Porteous, Pollock, Morris, and then a midfield three of Kayembe, Kone, Delibashiru, and then the front line of Asprilla, Dennis, and I'm not going to attempt his surname, but he's called Georgie.
Chakwachadze, yes.
Although, as in the interview, Jordan did note that those three switch positions quite a lot, so it's not necessarily a rigid right, left, middle sort of combination. Yeah.
Especially because Dennis will work the channels, he'll pull wide. He's that sort of striker. He's played a lot on the left of an attacking three for his career, so it's not surprising that he will pop up in other areas. And then Chetvertadze as well has played a lot centrally in his career, because more an attacking midfielder for the Georgian national team, because they have their best player on the left, which is Kvaratskhelia, so they have to fit him in somewhere. Lee Sands might know that name, because he was actually linked with us quite a while ago, and now he's absolutely balling out for Napoli. Is there anything else to add in that? I would say, when looking at that lineup, that, yeah, as has been mentioned a couple of times, they have a decent amount of pace and power throughout the team for the most part there. A kind of good blend of the two, but certainly a lot of pace on the counter, which is a little bit scary. And yeah, I really do like Asprilla a lot. He's someone who is going to be quite good. And out of the three midfielders, I think Kone is the one who's currently sort of playing the most advanced when the team does have the chance to attack, and he'll be the one that breaks forward to try and get up towards the likes of Dennis and Chetvertadze in attacking areas and kind of be that third man runner for them. Martin, is there anything else you want to add to that, or should we move on?
No, that all sounds pretty accurate. What Jordan said, I'd expect that to be the same as well. That midfield that they've got is really a lot to handle. I'm not sure how that's going to affect our what we should look for in the next section.
Yeah, we will. I just want to quickly remind listeners we are recording this on Monday evening, so there are still a few internationals to be played in the next couple of days, which could affect things, both for Watford and for Leeds. But speaking of Leeds, we shall move on to that section in just a second. But before I do so, we're going to talk a little bit about the Patreon and have a quick ad break. But don't worry, patrons, you don't have to hear this bit. Patreon is a media platform where you can support content creators that you enjoy and you get extra content in return. Our patrons get access for as little as $1.99 per month, which gives you ad-free podcasts. And if you want to pay a little bit more, you also get other benefits, including early access to our preview podcasts, such as the one you're listening to right now, analysis articles, videos, and bonus podcasts, such as the one that me and Martin did the other day. Martin, do you want to talk to listeners very quickly about what we did?
Yeah, so it's a pretty simplistic pod, really, in what the nature of it was, just looking at all of our opponents in the run into the promotion race and just see how they all stack up against what we've got and who's got the toughest fixtures, who's got the weakest fixtures, etc. And we also maybe broke some sacred all stats that we ruled in this pod, which I felt bad about at the time, but it was fun and it's a one-off. So enjoy it, listeners.
It certainly will not come back to bite us because we've never, ever been wrong on this podcast. And everyone should go and listen to it and enjoy it. But yes, if that does sound like something you're interested in, please do sign up, because if you do, you get to listen to it. If you don't, you don't. But yeah, you have a few days before we play Watford, so it'll still be relevant until then. But we have three tiers in total, Martin. Can you just, again, quickly explain those to our listeners?
Yeah, of course. The lowest tier is the Barada tier, which is $1.99, which simply is mainly a way for just to give it a little bit of support to us. And the main thing which comes with that is ad-free podcasts. Then the middle tier is the click tier, on which you get ad-free podcasts as well, and as early access to the preview pods, such as this one that we're doing now. And then the final one is the Pablo tier, which is probably the best value one. You get all the above previous things, ad-free podcasts, early access, as well as access to all our bonus content. We realise we have been a little bit lax with some of the bonus content, like the articles and videos, etc. But we've had so many games at the moment to analyse, it's difficult to just keep up with those. Never mind throwing extra things in, but that is still one way you get the most content.
Yeah, and we'll certainly be doing a lot more heading in towards the summer as well, regardless of which league we're in. So if you want to listen to that, they can head on over to where, Will?
Patreon.com/ASAW Patreon.
Gorgeous. Right, we'll get straight on into the Leeds section of this podcast. Actually, just before we do, really quickly, if you do listen to that bonus podcast, please get a pen and paper, write out your own predictions and follow along and see what you come out to at the end. You might surprise yourself, let's put it that way, because me and Martin certainly did. But yes, we'll get on to Leeds now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, injuries-wise, oh, Martin, I'm so sorry. Oh, we have to do this. Yeah. Jorginho Rutter, it looks like, at least for this game, he might not make it. Yeah, we're not 100% clear on that. He might have recovered in time, but I would suspect the club might rest him for Hull. What about you?
Yeah, and I thought I would like him to be rested, to be honest. As much as I will miss him, I would rather be rested in this game and not be rushed back. We know firsthand what rushing back players does. With players like Patrick Bamford, who were rushed multiple times, and then he was out for a long, long time because of it. So we don't want that to happen with Georgie. Keep him safe, keep him rested, give him lots of pillows to recover and get him back for the meat of the running. We've got a very hectic schedule.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I think I would rest him as well. Will, can you just talk to me a little bit about Junior Firpo, perhaps? Because it looks like he might not actually be back in time. It's not 100% clear, but he does play Wednesday night for the Dominican Republic. I can't remember. I think it's Peru that they're playing. And then he's going to have to fly all the way back. And then we have a game on Friday. So I imagine he'll probably be flying back on Thursday to try and make a game on Friday. I can't see him starting. I don't know about you. And that is a bit of a blow, isn't it?
It is. As one of the bigger Firpo fans, definitely in the Discord, that's a shame. But I do think it makes sense in the same way Martin doesn't want to see Ruta missed out, but understands why it makes sense. I think Firpo, we know he physically struggles at times of injury, so missing one game and hope either Byron can come in or we might see an experiment with Roberts on the left or even Gray because he was the one that ended the Leicester game there. It should be all right, but it is a shame.
It is indeed. I really do like your suggestions. I think we'll elaborate on them a little bit later on. And then the only two are that are out long-term absentees are Pascal Strauch and Stuart Dallas, of course. But yes, how do we expect that we might approach this game in possession? I'll start with you first, Will.
More based on Watford's shortcomings, I think, as we said, look at the wide areas, which we do anyway to a large extent. But then the other thing I noted that I forgot to mention earlier was Pollock and Porteous. You said rightly they're both big lads. I think the smallest one is 188 centimetres. But because of that, I noticed particularly Pollock, he's quite aggressive because of his size and it works, but he does get it wrong. So I was thinking if you could get little combinations around him to sort of get him, you know, if he approaches someone when they have their back to goal, but then play it a little triangle around them, that would be very nice to see. And I think we could get a lot of success from that.
Totally agree, Martin. You're still expecting the basic build-up approach to be largely the same. And if they do approach the game like they did against Birmingham, we might actually get some joy from that, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do think it will be the same sort of build-up play we do. But I do maybe expect us to continue with the recent theme that we've had in going a little bit more direct, trying to find players like Bamford making them beyond, or whichever ones it is on the wings who looks target as well in those areas. So I would expect Ampadu to still keep looking for those longer balls. He's been the main one who's been tasked with doing that, who's probably our best long passer that we've got inside at the moment, with Pascal Strauch being out. So I would expect that to continue, and we'll do look to get directly into those wide spaces where there will be a lot of space for us to exploit. So yeah, that I do expect it largely to be the same. There will obviously be some differences with our attacking lineup, with Routier being out, and I think it'll probably most likely to be Carell who can be to the side. So that will definitely change the way we do approach the final third, because he's a much different player to Routier, as we know, and it's going to be interesting to see how that matches up. We're not seeing too much of Bamford and Perreault working alongside each other, so it could well work, because we know that this is the sort of makeup which Perreault is more used to, is having a striker who makes runs beyond often. He had that similar setup at Swansea, so it could well work quite nicely. I'm not low on Perreault at all. Obviously, I'd just rate Georgie a lot more. And it's a shame that Perreault has had to take a step back and not been playing as much as he can, because he's probably our best ball striker. And I do want to see some more of that. So I'd like to see him getting into some good spaces and getting some shots off from the edge of the area in this game.
Yeah, I suppose it'll be about working the ball to him in those areas when he does pick up those pockets, if he does start. And obviously, as what Will said, the fullbacks and the centre-backs, if we can isolate anyone in those areas, a wide player can be bearing down on them and then releasing the ball to Perreault in space, it could be an easy way for us to find a way to goal. Obviously, it might not be that. It might be that he starts someone else. I'm not 100% sure on what he's going to do. I don't think I've even made my mind up as we're going to go on to predict the lineup in a second. But Martin, I'll start with you on this one. How do you expect us to approach this game out of possession? Will it be any different from what was our last game now? I can't remember. Millwall, it was. Millwall at home. Do you think it'll be any different from that game?
Well, yeah, it will be different, because I expect Watford to at least try to play out from the back a little bit more than what Millwall will have done. Millwall's first approach was to get it up directly and quickly. So I don't think that is what approach Watford will take. They do have more players who prefer the ball to feet, so they will be looking to try to get the ball on the ground quickly and foot forward. They do still play with quite a lot of directness, but it's a different kind of directness to what Millwall play with. So I would still expect us to try to be aggressive in that. They were quite prone to being pressed against Birmingham. Birmingham did quite a good job and forced quite a few high turnovers and pinned Watford in at times. So I would expect us to do similar and be aggressive in the right areas. Obviously, our press will not be in the same sort of level as it would be if Georgie was in the side. If it is Perreault, there's less intensity with Perreault in the side. but we could see something different, like you alluded to just a short while ago. And we'll get on set when we get to the starting lineup.
Will, have you got anything to add on out of possession approach?
Not massively. Just, yeah, as Martin said, Watford can be pressed. And we've spoken about the front half of Watford's team is the strength for them. But, you know, there's no reason we can't just suffocate that by pressing the back line, which is less technically competent. And if we do that, number one, it makes defending easier. But number two, we might score from it, which would be very nice.
Yeah, I have to say, I think it does depend on who starts as the attacking or the most advanced of the three midfielders in the attacking midfield spot. I think if it's Perreault, then I don't think we'll see as high intensity as Martin alluded to. But if it's someone else, then it might be slightly different. But speaking of players, either in or out of possession, is there anyone that we can see having a big impact on the outcome of this game? I'm going to start with you, Will, because you've mentioned wingers there. So do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, well, I was split. We'll get onto a predicted lineup, I'm sure. But between on the right, it's been, you know, Nonto or James, because Somerville has made the left his own, quite rightly. And I was thinking that Nonto is better for the combinations that I suggested we might want to try. And he's also, you know, far better than James at drifting inside, in my opinion, which would cause them problems. But with the amount of large spaces they leave down the flanks, James would be my preference for eating up the ground there and just dragging us up the pitch in the way that he has done several times this season and throughout his career. That has been, you know, one of his trademarks.
And Martin, is there anyone you can see having a positive or negative impact? You can do either if you want.
Well, it's, one big area for me is the midfield battle, because Watford have got a very, very good midfield. All of them are packed with pace and power. They're strong and fast. They will make life difficult for Camara and Grove, which is what I would expect them to be. I don't see why it would be anything. So those two are going to have a very good game, and they're going to have to be switched on to making sure they're releasing balls quickly and not taking too long, because they can and will eagerly be pressed. And if it is Perreault who's in the game, he will definitely be outmatched physically against Tunjali Bashiru, who is the more deeper of the midfielders, I'd say. Probably the one who knits things up in the deeper areas and is very press resistant. So I think he will quite easily be physically outmatched, at least in terms of strength and also in pace. So it's going to be interesting to see who we do choose in that spot, and maybe leading against Perreault in that area. But we'll see how that comes out. But definitely the midfield battle for me is going to be key. And also, whoever it is who's playing at left back will have to have a good game, because Asprilla is a strong player of theirs, and it's very good, very direct, loves to take on player. So whoever is playing in that spot, maybe leading to that, it could be a good thing that it's going to be either Byram or Roberts, because both their stronger foots will be their right. So when they're defending him cut inside, that will make things a little bit easier. Obviously, he's a player who can go both ways now. So if they do go on the outside, if he does go on the outside rather than inside, then that is where they could struggle in defending that.
Yeah, that was the main point I was going to make as well, was going to be their right side and against our left. Mainly because Andrews has got pace from right back and will get forward. And then you've got Asprilla who will cut inside, and he has pace as well. So not only do they have quite a lot of speed in central areas, but out wide as well. And that's the big one. But I do have to agree, the defending on the right foot might actually suit who is playing at left back. But obviously Byram did struggle against Stoke, against Manhurf, when he played, and he kind of turned him inside out in his last start. So I am actually interested to see what Farker does in the fullback spots, and whether he's going to play sort of Roberts with Gray in some way, and whether it'll be one of them at left back and one of them at right back. I'd assume it'll be Gray at left back if that is the case. But I guess that brings you on nicely to talk about a predicted lineup. Will, do you want to have a little stab at it? And I'm actually interested to see if we might have a bit more disagreement than usual on this one, because I think all of us might have slightly different options for left back and in the number 10 role.
Yeah, I was, as you've just said, quite split on this, because I did put Firpo in and then remembered the international situation. So I'm going Melier in goal, which I don't think is in doubt, and Rozon and Ampadu at centre-backs. But then this is it's slightly more, I wasn't quite sure, so I leant towards what I'd like to see, I must admit. It was to have Roberts at right-back with Byram at left-back, although I'm not confident he'll start there. And I'd almost thought, do you play Gray in midfield because of the energy that Watford have? And I don't think Gruev is the best athletically. So I'd gone Gray and Kamara with then James, Nonso, Somerville and Bamford up front, which I'm aware of now. Skirted around the question a bit because that's what I'd want rather than I'd expect. But what I'd expect, I'd put, yeah, I'll go Gray at left back with Gruev in midfield and Pirro.
Do you agree with that, Martin?
I think largely, yeah. At least for the, on the what we should expect to see. Definitely, obviously, will be Melier in goal rather than Pompidou at centre back. The key spots is right back and left back. And I think I'm maybe leaning towards it more likely to be Roberts and Gray at left back. Gray at left back, Roberts at right back. That's what I'm expecting, mainly because I think Gray's our best 1v1 defender and probably the one who's most likely to do well against Spreer. So that's my thinking behind that, and I think that will be aligned with what Farke will see, especially since he, like Will mentioned earlier, Gray did see out a game at left back, but was put to right back in that game. So that's quite interesting there to see that Gray was put there to be tested out that him in that spot just to see how he did handle it, and I felt like he was good in that area. It was meaning that he was able to come onto his stronger foot and drive forward into central space, which could be quite a useful tool in evading Watford's press to get that little bit of a different dimension going forward, because I don't think Barham quite has that same carry-in from pressure as what Gray has. So that would be what I would both like to see and expect to see, I think. Then midfield, it will be Kamara and Gruev, and then up in the final third. The only spot I'm unsure of is the attacking midfield spot. I do think it's probably most likely to be James, Nonto and Somerville with Bamford up front. I think that would make the most sense because that matches up with... So although Nonto will be out-muscled by their midfield, he won't also be outpaced. So that's a crucial difference. So whereas Pirro would both be out-muscled and outpaced. So it would be a big mismatch if Pirro was in this game. And it's not that I don't want to see Pirro, but I just think this game is not right for him. And I think it would make more sense to have Nonto in there. And also, it would be nice to see Nonto in central space because of how good he links up with Somerville. They've got such good chemistry. So it would make more sense to have him in the attacking midfield spot so he can get some combinations going and bring Somerville into the game more. And that could be a good thing for Somerville as well, having someone who... He's got such a great relationship. I know him and Georgie also have a great relationship, but I think just obviously they've known each other longer, have Nonto and Somerville as opposed to Routier, so that could be a good little thing going there. So be interested to see it. And obviously Bamford up front.
Yep. I think I agree with you, and I like the journey you've been on in the second half of the podcast where you've kind of talked yourself out of playing Pirro and you've come down to, actually, I think it might be Nonto. I think I'm in agreement with you both. I think that's probably the most likely for a lot of the reasons you stated about his sort of pace and power being a little bit better than Pirro's in that regard. So he's probably more useful there. He's still a pretty tidy player out of possession as well, Nonto. And a lot of people on this podcast and wider in the Leeds community, I'll give Udav a big shout out. He's someone who was a big advocator for playing Nonto in central space as well in the Premier League, to be fair, because he thinks he's got the sort of physical and technical profile to do so, and he also likes to receive a bit deeper and drive the ball at the pitch, and we might see a bit more of that if he's playing in a sort of central attacking area. He also has done it for Italy's under 21 team a lot recently. He's been playing more centrally, and in Switzerland he has decent experience of playing kind of as a second striker, so it wouldn't be too far away from that. So I think he's probably the obvious player to do so, but there is also a world where Somerville actually plays in the 10 and Nonto goes to the left, James to the right. Not 100% there, but I would agree with you too that it's probably more likely that Nonto is in the middle. And the fullbacks is interesting. Obviously, we might be completely wrong. If Firpo is, you know, deemed fit enough, he might start the game and not finish it. We don't 100% know. It's just the quick turnaround, which makes me think it's very, very unlikely that he starts. It doesn't seem like there's any logic to him playing on a Wednesday night, travelling back and from South America and managing to make a game on a Friday night 2 days later. To me, it seems logical that he'll either be on the bench or not even involved at all. I guess we'll sort of wrap up now in the final couple of questions. I'll start off with you, Martin, on this one. What do you expect watching this game of football will look like based on everything we've said?
Well, if Watford decides to go with quite an aggressive press, it could be a very, very messy game. It could be very chaotic because that's what the Birmingham game was. It was very chaotic. I think it would be less both sides going at each other and more us keeping hold of the ball and Watford being quite aggressive and trying to win the ball back. us getting the ball forward and then them trying to transition on us. It's good to easily be a basketball match, but it all depends on what approach Watford take to the game, and that could dictate the way it goes for us in general as well. I think if they do be quite aggressive, it would be good for us. I do hope that they do decide to, because they're at home, be that bit more aggressive and try to take the game to us, because I think that could work in our favour a lot more. And yeah, I do think we still probably will dominate the ball no matter what approach they take. I think we will still have a higher amount of possession than them. Probably will be like 70-30, probably more like late 50s, 42, that kind of thing. So we will still have more of the ball, but they will have our time where they do possess the ball and are able to get into our third.
Will?
Yeah, transition was going to be the theme of what I thought it would be too. I think more so than games we've seen recently. And then I guess I was just thinking that if it comes to a situation where you're fighting fire with fire, you just have to trust that on the occasions that Asprilla or Dennis or one of the others breaks free, Rodon and Ampadu will be able to sweep up in the way that they have done so many times, and hope that at the other end, our boys do the job there, which I have full confidence in them doing that.
Yep, I agree with you both, and I think we will dominate, especially because Birmingham had a decent amount of the ball in that game, so a side like them, if they're able to do it, I think that we should be able to as well, and that will then come down to, as Martin mentioned, about how aggressively they press us and whether they sit in a mid-block. But where will the game be won or lost? Will, I think you've touched on it there with what you're saying about transitions, but do you want to elaborate any further? Is there anything else?
I think just, I've said it a few times throughout the podcast now, but the respective winger versus fullback duels. I think both sides, if they score, it will be related to attacking from wide areas. So it comes down to then who does it better. And if we get the first goal, I'd be confident that we might then score a few. But one thing I did note in the Birmingham game was, because they scored so close to half time, it wasn't really noticeable just then. But in the second half, even against Birmingham, Watford were very game management. I'll be nice. They looked to slow the game down with goal kicks and throw-ins. And so I do think we might even see that from the start against us, as a few teams recently have done, Huddersfield particularly, in the first half against them, just looking to kill any momentum, which is no fun to watch. But I'd hope we don't let it get to us in the way that some of the players, without naming names, have let it get to them in the past.
Martin, where do you think the game will be won or lost?
Definitely the winger versus fullback battle on against both teams is going to be a big part of this. But I also do think the midfield area is very key as well. Winning second balls will be crucial, just making sure we're aggressive in those moments. And we have had some good results in those areas recently, from especially Kimura, who's been very good at being physical in those sort of battles. But this is a different sort of midfield and probably one where he is outmatched physically. So it's going to be a test for our midfield as to how they can get a handle on the game and be composed. And we know that Cameron can do it and he can turn away from pressure well, but he will be under a lot of that pressure in this game, especially if they do decide to go quite aggressive in their press. So, and also I'm looking at Groot as well, because he's one who has had his issues with using his overthought. I think Will's been quite big on this. Both in Discord, I've noticed a few times that Groove needs to use both feet, especially in this game where he's going to be outmatched physically. He's going to need to use all the tools that he's got to get out of these sort of moments where he's being pressed, get the ball in good areas, maybe just keep things simple, which is what he usually does do anyway. Just don't try anything too fancy and just get the ball to players who can make those more direct passes, get it to Ampadu who can put a ball forward quickly. Yeah, so that's going to be it for me.
And I'm going to just chuck a few things out there. A lot of what you've already both said, but just to pick up on it a little bit further, to me it's about making the most of those moments that you've just mentioned there, those longer balls, those clip balls when we can. But it's just the contrast in this game for me in terms of Millwall, who we played recently, who didn't have a huge amount of speed and pace in their team and sat a little bit lower and deeper than what Watford will do. They've got a lot more speed throughout the side. They definitely can be a bit more aggressive in their mid-block because of that. So then it's about whether you can make the most of your transitions and your counters. And it is a shame that Routier's missing because he could have had a field day here in some of those moments. But we should still have enough quality to hopefully come through this and get the 3 points, you would hope. Anyway, that brings us on to the end of the podcast. So just a quick reminder, the website for our Patreon is patreon.com/ASAW Patreon. We'll also be back with a preview of Hull very shortly and also a review of both games next week. We're hoping that we don't have to combine too many podcasts between now and the end of the season, but the turnaround is pretty crazy this week, so that one will be a doubleheader. But for now, all that's left for me to say is thank you to Will.
Thank you, Adam. Before we go, can I just add something slightly that I'd meant to mention earlier, is with their midfield and players that we could or be good or bad, I really, really wish we could have Ampadu the midfielder for this one. I realise that that won't happen, but I think this is one of the games where he would have shone in midfield with his ball playing, but then also he's more combative than Kamara and Grover.
I agree. It's a shame that you've done it at this point, because I know a lot of people switch off before we actually do the outro. Okay. So some people will have missed that.
Sorry, everybody.
But anyone that is still here, I just wanted to say also thank you very much to Martin.
Thank you as well, Adam.
And thank you, dear listener. Have a great week and enjoy the games this Easter weekend. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.